Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy, Wednesday for you. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that we like to talk about grace frequently on the show because, you know, it's so important, and we are grace forgetters. But what does grace actually look like in the context of marriage? Well, my guests today are Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, and they join me to unpack the amazing gift of grace that we are called to give our spouse on a daily basis and why it matters. We love having the Smalleys on. We'll get to that conversation in just a moment. First, a couple of quick announcements. Super excited about our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. The registrations are coming in, which excites me to no end. I mean, it just is a testament that we've got many aspiring writers out there. But I also know, having been one myself, a person who's just afraid to take those next steps, I'm talking to you. You've not registered yet, and you've got this dream and desire to step up, but maybe fear stands in the way. You feel like you can't make the $150 registration. Well, somebody once said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So I'm daring you not to let your I can't statements keep you from stepping up and attending this conference. If you want more information about the conference, check it out, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. We can accommodate a whole lot of people, but the reason we're pitching it now is because we have a limited number of face-to-face faculty appointments. We can accommodate about 350 faculty appointments, and I think we're about 320. So there's still time, but those tickets are going fast. All right. So check out the information, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also, to let you know that we've got a contest in full swing, and this is where the conference was born from, was just the idea that we have so many aspiring writers. So this is our fifth annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. It's going on right now. Submit your piece, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. It's based on Micah 6:8. All the submission guidelines and information are on our website, myfaithradio.com. But you want to submit it because you want to get your piece out on the website. What it'll do is publish, and then you post it, and you've got friends voting, loved ones voting on it. So between your votes and then editor judges, we will have six winners. And these six winners, what's different this year, these six winners, you'll get your registration paid for. Now, if you've already registered for the conference, from my understanding, is you'll get that reimbursed. But you'll get a free registration and, this is the really valuable part, a guaranteed face-to-face appointment with an editor, acquisitions editor, from Bethany House Baker Publishers. That's a very big deal. In fact, those meeting slots went right away, but we saved a few for the winners of our fifth annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. So, again, check out the information on our website, myfaithradio.com. We only have a couple weeks left before submissions close and voting closes, so now is the time you want to act on that, myfaithradio.com. And maybe you've noticed we've moved some things around on our Faith Radio program schedule. If you're curious about which program airs when, you'll find all that up on our website as well. MyFaithRadio.com. That's MyFaithRadio.com. Are you ready for a great conversation? I'm excited for you to hear my conversation with the Smalleys. Okay, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, and The Wholehearted Marriage. That's just to name a few. Erin is a Program Director at Focus as well, and she's an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs with her dear family. She works with her husband, Greg, also doing marriage intensives and seminars. They live in Colorado Springs, where they have three daughters, Taylor, Maddie, and Annie. Murphy is what she's known by, and their son, Garrison. And you can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg and Aaron, I've so missed you. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, it's always great to be with you. I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you.
Question for you, though.
What?
So if I took my $15 and got 15 $1 food items off the dollar menu but ate them, does that still count?
Well, I'm trying to decide because you really are a special case. So
I'm special.
The exception.
Thank you.
Let's start a GoFundMe account for Greggy. Yeah. Help him not be like he is. No, I'm just kidding.
Totally we are so you. Thrilled to be back with you. It seems like it's been forever.
It really, really does. And I've missed you so much. And Phil did a great job. But, you know, I just love to be with you and looking forward to our conversation. And I would love to know, since you've been on the show so many times, you know the drill. We start with scripture. Either one of you have a verse you've been thinking about these days.
We both do.
Oh,
we
wow.
couldn't decide
overachievers.
On one. We fought.
Yes. Come on.
So
you
we
guys
figured
are.
We just each give one.
Okay, Aaron, let's go with you first.
Okay, Ephesians 4:23, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I love that verse. Even though it doesn't say the word grace per se, it is just so grace-filled, tender-hearted, forgiving, you know, kind. It's just all what grace encompasses. And I think in marriage, what better place to display that, especially amidst this time of year and the holidays, and you know, there's a lot of stress that comes with that, but then just the irritations, and that we have such an opportunity to offer each other forgiveness and being kind and being tenderhearted.
Boy, that's
just
so
as
good.
Christ is to us. Mm.
And, you know, grace really is received by the giver, gives it by intention. It's just not floating in the atmosphere. God gave us grace, and to give grace to each other, there's an intention behind it, Aaron, isn't there?
For sure, definitely. And I think as we recognize how much has been given to us, just the grace that has been poured upon us, that then when we recognize that, it's easier to give it out freely.
So good. Greg, what about you?
You know, I love Ephesians 2:8-9, where it's talking about grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not on your own doing, but it is a gift of God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast. And for me, as I think about this amazing gift that God's given us in terms of grace, the gift of Christ dying on the cross, now we can be with him for eternity. That you know, that blows my mind. And to your point, Susie, worth talking about again and again. But something happened over Thanksgiving that for me really caused me to ponder, what is that, though, concept of grace? What does that really look like in a marriage? Like, how does that manifest? If I want to give Aaron grace, what do I do practically? Like, make it simple for me. And that really was born out of a different experience that we had.
Would we label this experience an incident, perhaps?
You could, but that just has such baggage as
okay.
a word that already people are turning the station
exactly.
dial.
Are you kidding me? They're turning
on. Another one.
No, they want to know what happened next. Okay, experience. Tell us about the grace experience, Greg. What happened?
So one night, we had all the kids. It was great. That all six of us are in home. Murphy's off to college. Taylor's about to get married. But everyone was home. And so Aaron talked about, hey, let's cook a real special meal. And so kind of she and I set out to prepare this meal. And so there we are fixing this together. It was like a date night, really, if you think about it.
Kind
cooking
of.
Cooking for everybody.
Kind of.
Okay. So my job was to attend to what we were grilling. I think we pounded out some chicken patties so they're real thin, and we used the gluten-free bread
crumbs.
Yeah. and so we just were grilling away in this kettle on the stove. And so I'm using Aaron's favorite cookware that includes like a really big
frying pan.
Yeah, frying pan.
I'm glad I'm here. I'm like completing his thoughts for him. That's
thank
very
you
helpful.
Martha Stewart.
Yes.
Including her glass lid, like her favorite glass lid for this frying pan. So as I finished up and I was starting to clean up, and she from across the way goes, hey, and by the way, she goes, don't put that in the sink. And so she goes, don't run water on it.
Don't run cool water on it.
And I'm going, okay, first of all, I'm 48. I know how to clean up. I'm not an idiot. So I'm scrubbing, cleaning, so I take this stuff over and put it into the sink. I'm like, what does it matter? Just it's in the sink now. And I ran cold water over it. Well, I understand now why you're not supposed to do that, because I thought someone shot a cannon off in the kitchen, because the glass frying pan lid exploded the moment that I ran cold water over it, to where, I mean, it was just this explosion of glass, and I'm looking into the sink,
whoa,
and nothing hit me in the face. It's, whoa, a miracle. And it exploded and scared me so bad that I'm just standing there holding now just the handle,
because
the whole thing's gone. It's disintegrated. There's like the handle in a metal ring that used to fit around,
whoa,
the outside. And then I instantly look at Erin. It was just the best look ever. Like, she just stands there with that sort of eyes go up, hands on the hip, and just like, yeah, that's what I meant. But she didn't say anything. She didn't say, hey, moron, that's what I was talking about. She didn't come over and, you know, punch me on the arm for destroying her favorite lid. She just came over and just grabbed the broom, and we just got this thing cleaned up.
Aww.
And there was no shaming. There was no...
Well, and I did ask if you had any shards in your eye.
You did. She
I
was
did.
Even
I
worried
was,
about
I was
me.
Attending to him medically.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I'm like, no, the pop marks are not from glass. It's when I was an adolescent. But anyway. And so it just, I'm telling you, later on that night, I was just reflecting upon that, because thinking, man, if that had been me and she had destroyed something that I really valued, oh, I would have given it to her because I had just told her. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about what she didn't do. And it led me just to that idea of going, man, that what she did was give me grace.
Hmm.
And what an amazing gift within a relationship. So that's just caused me to go, okay, so do I do that? What does that look like? How would I know if I'm giving Erin grace?
So that is such a good story and a good example. First of all, hats off to you, Erin. Way to go. I mean, truly.
Well, truly. You know, truly, I never really knew what would happen if you ran cold water over a hot greased frying pan lid. But I assumed what happened.
You.
So he actually helped me, because,
well,
I'm like,
you're welcome.
Wow, so now every single one of our kids knows,
yeah,
what will happen if you do that. So it was,
yeah,
a great learning experience.
I mean, the kids
experience.
Were diving on the ground. They think there's war broke out there,
wow,
in Colorado Springs.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, it's a great learning experience.
Next time, safety goggles, Greg, if you choose,
yeah,
to not listen.
Yeah. But
I'm going to rent one of those bomb disposal outfits and,
yeah,
just wear it as I cook.
That's smart. But tell me how you felt when you know, we always know, at least most of the time, we know when we've blown it. How,
right,
did it feel to you to be on the receiving end of grace? I mean, it was you were standing there with the evidence right before you. You know, it was like,
get with him, Susie,
right,
I promise.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, how did you feel then, being on the receiving end of such grace?
Well, it was, you know, the moment that it happened, and I realized that's why you don't run cold water over it. Just looking at Erin and with that stupid, sheepish grin of like, you know, I'm totally exposed. Like, I'm an idiot. I totally blew it. I just destroyed. I mean, all of that. And thus, you know, you think about, like, for Adam and Eve, you know, when we make mistakes, for me, that desire, one, to hide and then to defend.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
I instantly started, you know, thinking of, how do I explain this? How do I rationalize it? How do I minimize? I mean, just whatever. But yet, when she did nothing but come over, and it wasn't that she came over huffing and puffing. It wasn't that she came over sort of in that passive-aggressive way. Okay, I'll help because, you know, you're a moron and can't do anything right, so I might as well clean up right. I mean, it wasn't any of that. It was just, you know, it happened. Let's clean up. And I think for me, it just... There was a, I don't know, it just, it drew me to her.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't feel stupid, well, I did, but not because of her, but it caused me to lean in and go, and it connected us. I felt,
you know,
connected.
I love that, because we're drawn to grace because we need grace. We're made for grace. So when we give it to each other, it knits our hearts together, you know? Doesn't the Bible say mercy triumphs over judgment? Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley today, talking about grace in the context of marriage. If you've got a great example of grace extended to you, or even if you want to brag on yourself, I'd love to hear it, how you extended grace to your spouse, email me. I've got some Smalley resources and a few other things on our Faith Radio shelf. Email me your example, and I will send you a book, all right? Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you have a question for the Smalleys, include it there as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with the Smalleys in a moment. Take it all, every hope, every dream. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, about grace in the context of marriage. If you just tuned in, they told just a great story and a great example of grace extended in their marriage. I would just love to know from you time in marriage when your spouse extended grace to you, or maybe you extended it to them. Email me your story, and if I hear from you, I'll try to read it on the air, but I'll send you a book either from the Smalleys or off of our Faith Radio shelf. Don't forget your mailing address. I don't have time to chase that thing down, so email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So, Aaron, let's start with you, and I'd love for both of you to speak into this, but define grace as the Bible describes it, as the dictionary describes it. Give us just a deeper understanding of what grace actually is.
Yeah, you know, grace is defined as, I happen to have the definition right here, it's God's free and unmerited favor. Hmm. It's favor that we're not earning. So it's given to us. It's manifested in the gift of eternal salvation for sinners, which we all are. And it's the ongoing bestowing of blessings. And so you want to make that practical into a marriage sense. In essence, we're extending favor to our spouse, favor that's, you know, maybe not even deserved.
Like
you know,
you
it's,
did for me.
It's unmerited.
Destroy something of yours.
Yeah, but, you know, the more you recognize that you need that, I need grace all the time. I mean, continuously. And it's so much easier when you come from that place of going, I need grace. And so therefore it's super easy to give it.
Wow.
But again, like you said, Susie, it's being intentional with it and being intentional of giving grace, choosing to give grace.
Well, and Susie, you think about that grace really is an essential part of how God expresses his love for us. And so as I think about my role as a husband to love my wife as Christ loved the church, you think about a Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us. So this is how he's demonstrating, expressing his love, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, that's the essence of grace.
Yeah, while our sin is in motion, he makes a way for us.
Right. And so if that's how if that's a part of his expression of his love, I want to love like he does. So it's just another element, you know, as we've talked a lot about, you know, sacrifice is that one of those key component of how God loves us, you know, so is grace. And I tell you, if you really want to get the formula, I mean, just read 1 Corinthians, you know, 13:4-8. You know, when it talks about love is, you know, you start thinking about it from a grace standpoint, you know, love being patient, love is not envious, love doesn't boast, love is not proud, doesn't dishonor. I mean, then you, that's how grace is really walked out.
Wow, so good. This may seem a tiny bit off topic, but I'm going to bring it back around in because I feel like it very much connects with what you're talking about. But something I've observed just in my own journeys around the country, talking to different women, and even just in my own marriage, I noticed that when women are married to guys who are basically selfish jerks, but the woman is a Christian, that she really has to find a way to get her identity in Christ because it's just not happening in the marriage. You know what I'm saying? Where she really sends her roots deep into the soil of God's love. And it's a painful thing because it's something she wishes she could get from her husband. She's just not. And I've met women like that who are so seasoned. And then I've met women, you know, like you and Aaron, Aaron, you and I are married to good guys. Sorry, we're not married. You and I are married to good guys.
The three girls here
exactly
on the radio.
Yeah. Come on now. But when we as women are married to good guys, like Kevin, like Greg, it is so easy for us as women to shift our hope into the guy because they're already so wanting to deliver that we can shift our weight onto them thinking they need to deliver more than they're supposed to deliver. And our hope is in the Lord. I just noticed that women who are in tougher marriages are quicker to rely on God. I just want you to speak to that because I think when we start to hope in our husbands, we're asking more from them than we should, where there should be grace because they're still human. Do you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely 100% hear what you're saying and agree with it because it is so true. When it's tough, and, you know, I think that it's such a wise thing to just recognize that you may or may not get grace in return, but why are you giving it? Because you are so rooted in Christ that we are able to extend it because it was extended to us. And so when our roots are deep and we're able to then reach out and extend it, knowing that, you know, especially if he's not a good guy, he may or may not even notice.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you're setting an example of, you know, and the scriptures are clear about how we can influence our unbelieving husbands to the Lord that we're doing it unto the Lord. We're doing it out of what has been bestowed upon us.
What? You know, for
Craig,
me,
go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, as you asked that question, I was thinking about, you know, for me, it's so easy to fall into certain expectations when Aaron and I are doing well, when things are going pretty good relationally. You know, we all have seasons, and there's ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And in for I think over the past few months, we've just been in a sweeter season. It just seems like we're clicking. We're preparing for Taylor's wedding. I mean, there's a lot going on. And yet the other night, I can't even remember what happened, but it's like we were snippy all of a sudden with each other, a little chippy. And it just
not to be confused with chipper, but keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, maybe there was stuff being thrown, so it was causing chips to fly off the wall and stuff. But it just what it did is that I just kind of went, oh, you know, how dare you? How dare you wreck this wonderful season and this stuff that's been going on? And so even in my own mind, I had to remember that, you know, we're both human. She's human. We're not always – everything's not going to be love and bliss always. And it's okay. And it's just a good reminder. So it can even happen when we're – you know, when we're in a better season, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden something happens and we're over – so it was like I was about to overreact just based on one little – interaction that we had.
It
wasn't exactly what I wanted.
And that's so right. It's like shifting your weight to an expectation versus an expectancy. And we've got about a minute before our hard break, but I'm remembering a time when Aaron and I had a conference in Texas, and we'd shared about this on the air before, Aaron, so I hope it's okay. But when you got into the car and you realized the money bag was within the box in the case of books, and you were
terrible. I forgot about that.
It was being shipped back to, and you're like, and you texted Greg, and then you showed me what he texted you back, and he said, it's okay, honey, just come home safe. But here again is just another example of I just saw your whole countenance change. You were beating yourself up enough for the both of you, and because you just felt bad, but he extended such grace. And what did that make you want to do? Get home to your husband, you know?
For sure, yes.
I mean, and I hope that's okay.
I don't remember any of this.
Greg, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Don't get
a big
head.
That's all you need to hear from that.
But I just wanted to, you know, just to show that this really works in very practical ways, and it always builds up. Love builds up. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, we're going to talk more about ways you identify where you've lost some grace, where you're maybe lacking grace, and how you can bring grace and show up with more grace in your marriage. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. Good news is love surrounds us in the eye of the storm. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every single month, we are so honored and blessed to have our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, on the show from Focus on the Family, talking marriage, parenting, relationships. Well, today we're talking grace in the context of marriage. And if you just tuned in, you're going to want to go back and hear the whole conversation. We're at a point now in the conversation. Love for you to just both touch on symptoms or identifiers, how you know that grace is lacking and maybe the grace quotient needs an upgrade in marriage.
You know, I think for me, if grace is lacking, one way for me to determine this is, does Aaron have certain behaviors or quirks that totally irritate me?
Uh-oh.
And I was laughing because when we were our youngest daughter Annie, who's 9, was born with cleft lip and palate, just recently had surgery, and so when she was coming out of surgery, kind of waking up out of being under the anesthesia and everything, she's just groggy, she's out of it, and she's asking the nurse like what medicine the nurse is giving her, So the nurse is going into this real technical thing about the
uses
oxycodone or something or some narcotic that she's just like over-explaining to a child that's just waking up.
From anesthesia.
And Annie's looking at me like, I don't get it. And so I said, honey, it's the stuff that your mother sells on Craigslist.
Oh, my word.
I'm just trying to be funny. And so the nurse like snaps to look at Aaron like, what? And so all of a sudden Aaron's defending that I'm joking, that she's not really doing this. So Grace, so one way you would know is if that stuff like that, like having a weird sense of humor, totally irritates you, would be one way to know if you need more grace.
All right. What do you say?
Yes. That is, I don't have anything to say after that. When he did that, I was like to this nurse, I'm like, okay, she's 9 and she doesn't need the chemical breakdown of oxycodone right now. She's coming out of anesthesia. But then, of course, he always brings humor to it, which lightens it up a little bit. And that can be irritating. But you know what? I know if I do get irritated with things like that, it's a good time for me to step back and evaluate what's going on with me. What is it? Why am I short-tempered? Why am I irritable? You know, if you find yourself focusing more on what they aren't doing versus what they are doing, that's, you know, there's lots of things that you can look at and go, why, if I'm doing these things, if I'm being irritable, if I'm finding things that, you know, focusing on what he is versus what he is not doing, you know, you might be lacking grace. And it's a good time to step back and just personally evaluate what's going on.
Boy.
And I know for me, when I'm like that, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm maybe hormonal. I can say that, he can't.
Yeah. I just climbed under the desk.
Yeah. You know, what's going on for me? And it's a heart issue. And being able to regroup, spend some time with the Lord, maybe, you know, make sure I've eaten, you know, is your blood sugar low? I mean, just a lot of things you can check in on yourself to just really evaluate what is going on with me that I'm not extending grace.
That's so good. I'd add one more thing to that. Scripture talks about love keeps no account. I feel like you lose grace when you start keeping an account. When you start to keep note of the things that bug you, or normally you're able to look at them as endearing or sweet or just whatever. But when we start to keep note of it and rehearse it, I think we are out of grace. You know, we're not giving grace.
Yes.
And we're
the scorecard.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so let's talk some practical ways to practice grace. Greg, you start if you would.
You know, for me, when I really started thinking about this, for me, one of the biggest is being able to look past your spouse's quirks, their weaknesses, the things that are irritating you, frustrating you in that moment. So think about, all of us go through situations in our marriage, like what I did to Aaron in the hospital when I was just being, I thought, playful and funny. But I guess it wasn't that funny. But it's.
Think I could have been hauled away to jail. No, it wasn't funny. You know what?
Is that why Child Protective Services keep calling us?
Yeah, sorry, ew. Annie. Daddy's going to take care of you.
I think it's being able to look past how our spouse is showing up in that exact moment to think about and focus on who they really are. And so think about that for a moment. There are so many things that we do that are irritating, just little quirks. We were walking into Focus today, and Aaron loves to have like an iced tea and a big glass of water from Starbucks. What do they call it?
The Trenta. I just learned about Trenta.
So she loved, and I was just making fun of her, going, how do you even walk? If I wasn't here, how would you be hauling all this in? And and I was just laughing at her, like, what a quirk. And so when in moments that I'm being irritated or frustrated, grace will look past that stuff. It's almost like, you know, if you're taking a photo, there might be thing, you know, you're wanting to take a picture of a person who's farther away, but there's something up close that the camera has to sort of blur out in order to really get clear focus on the thing that's further off. And so I think that's grace.
That's
a
great analogy.
I look through and past the minor, the little irritation to go, I know who Aaron really is. Like when God talks about that he says that man looks at the outward appearance. This is in Samuel 16:7. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so for me, it's really being able to go, okay, who in 25 years that we've been married, I know who Erin is. I know what she stands for. I know her heart. And that's what's true about her. What may not be true is this: in this moment, she's just being irritating. She's being frustrating. She's hurting me. She's wounding me. But that's not really her. Because if we don't have that ability and we get caught up in the things that happen in the moment, then we'll
react to the moment.
We will react. Mm-hmm. So we might be quick to anger, but then that begins to change our perspective. Now we start to see. Now I'll see her as that moment person versus who she really is.
Boy, that is fantastic. You know, remember, Kevin and I took a young couple out who were thinking of getting engaged, and I just watched as he said, every conflict, every forgiveness, every act of love that we've gestured towards each other over the years is a brick in a foundation in a big building that God is building with our marriage. And in due time, he said, it's God's plan that not only do we have a firm foundation and a sturdy building, a place where we can abide, but where others can abide and find warmth and be nourished. And he said, that's God's whole plan for marriage, is not only just to thrive together, but have it be a sturdy place for more and more people. You know what I'm saying? Where they're fed by your example, nourished by your love. That idea, I wrote down, Greg, what you'd said. I just want us to pause here for a minute and have you, Erin, speak to it, because I don't want to rush past it. You said, grace looks past how we're showing up in the moment and looks at the big picture of who we are together. You know, that could be a game changer for somebody listening today, because we're such in-the-moment people. But, Erin, speak to that even on a deeper level, how that takes maturity to look past how the other is showing up in the moment and looking at the big picture of who we are together.
It is so true, and it's so funny that he said that, because it's exactly what I was thinking I was going to share, is that you're really looking you're giving them the benefit of the doubt in the moment to say, you know what, I know Greg's heart. I know who he really is, and right now this is how he's showing up, but I know that his motives are pure, that he would never intentionally want to cause harm. That
or destroy your favorite cooking lid.
Or to send you to the slammer.
To jail. Yeah. But I see this over and over again, Susie, with women who are keeping a record of accounts. Their heart begins to become bitter, that it's so much easier to jump to the conclusion that, you know, he doesn't care. Look at, he did this today and he's so selfish. And, you know, they begin to have this list of these negative qualities that really they know that in their right mind, they know that's not really who he is, because they know that he's a good man, that he's serving, that he's sacrificing, that he's loving. But somehow the enemy comes in and he puts these blinders on over our eyes, and we begin seeing all the negative things and the dark things, and we start putting attaching meaning to what they're doing, motives, and the motives are not pure. And instead, we have an opportunity that we can go to them and ask them, you know, really, you know, I need to understand what you meant when you said that, or when you told the nurse that I sell things on Craigslist. What did you mean? You know, but I already knew that that's out of it from a pure place. It's a great example of him having a good sense of humor. But if my heart was bitter and dark and angry, I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't be able to see that his motives are pure.
Well, in Susie, you think about how many people right now hearing this are rolling their eyes in kind of, you know, at what we're talking about, because they're like, you have no idea what is actually true about my spouse. They're doing this and they're doing this, and there's a lot of terrible things that we can do to our spouse within our marriage, to where for some they're like, are you crazy? Look, we're unfaithful. They're selfish. They're always working. I mean, so we're not minimizing the pain and the hurt. We're not minimizing or excusing someone's behavior. And so it's not saying, hey, just ignore that stuff and just look for the positive. It's actually just saying a part of grace that we're told to do, because God did this for us, is maybe a part of it is praying and saying, God, right now it's really hard to see beyond this horrendous thing or things that my spouse has done. But it's doing what the angel of the Lord did to Gideon. You know, when the angel of the Lord found Gideon, you know, he called him a mighty warrior. In other words, this angel looked beyond what Gideon was doing, which was a real weak kind of hiding wheat, you know, up in the mountains. He looked beyond that into who Gideon really was and called that out. And the bottom line is that God said that each one of us are made in his image. I mean, he sent his son to die for us as individuals because we have worth and value. We are sons and daughters of the Most High King. I mean, just because I may consistently do things that are destructive, it doesn't mean that I'm not this person that God made me to be. Does that make sense?
Very much. We're going to pause and take an early break here because I want to come back and have you both unpack. Does grace look different over an annoyance versus over an offense? I mean, there are things that are, like you say, downright offensive, hurtful, damaging to the marriage. What does grace look like in that context versus, I think we've addressed some of the annoyances, things where we're keeping an account that you could maybe make allowances for, Scripture says. How does grace show up in these two kinds of scenarios? Let me touch on the kind of an annoyance, but let's talk about the major offense. What does grace look like in that situation? Don't go away. More with the Smalleys when we return. Tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. This is With the Promise, having a great time talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. This has been an amazing conversation, and I'm telling you, if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the whole podcast. It'll be up shortly after the show. We're talking about what grace looks like in the context of marriage, and grace empowers us. Grace gives us favor when we so don't deserve it. Grace helps us move forward. What we've received in grace from the Lord empowers us to give grace to others. We've been talking about making allowances, believing the best, not keeping an account, extending grace in those moments. And just love what you'd said, Greg, about how grace looks past how we're showing up in the moment and looks at the big picture and remembers who we are together. So we've talked about those kind of little offenses, but differentiate that from a major offense. Does grace look different when you're talking about a major offense that really takes a withdrawal from the trust account, so to speak?
Well, I think about, you know, when God talks about his grace, it's always in the context of Christ's death. You know, that but God shows his love for us, and that while yet we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think in that way, that's what I'm trying to emulate. There's definitely things that will annoy me that Aaron's going to do, and I can look past those. But yeah, what happens if it's something major? Well, I think it's at that moment grace is going to begin by going, okay, first of all, what did God do? I was a sinner. I put Christ to death, essentially. He died for my sin. All have sinned. All have fallen short. And so that's a major offense. And so what does God continue to do? And for me, it begins with forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's first and foremost. How are we able to get ourselves to a place that we can forgive? And then even further, then keep no record of that wrong. And so, you know, forgiveness is an amazing gift, and it's grace in action. You know, Aaron may not deserve it. What she's done may be so horrendous, so insidious that no way should I offer forgiveness. But that's what God did, and that's what he expects from us. In the bitterness and the resentment that is bred through major offenses, you know, that's the stuff. You know, I love whoever said that, you know, that resentment is drinking poison expecting that the other person will die. And resentment, bitterness is killing me. And so even to take care of myself in the midst of major offenses, I'm forgiving for the health of the relationship because God's told me, but also just to protect my heart as well, because I don't want it to turn bitter. And that's what grace is able to do, first and foremost, is through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say that in the midst of that, I mean, it's easy to say, yes, forgive. And I know that forgiveness has been, you know, thrown out there as, you know, you have to forgive and this is what it's going to look like and it's going to forget the offense and on. But when something really major has happened, I would say, yes, the commitment to forgive and the commitment to them to say, you know what, hun, this has been really painful. This has been really, really difficult for me, but I am committed to you. And I know God is in this. God is gonna do miraculous things in you. He's gonna do miraculous things in me. And there's gonna be times that it's hard, but I ultimately am committed to you. And you know, that's what grace is, that I'm gonna walk with you through this. And it's difficult for me, and there's times I'm gonna have to take a step back and get my heart back into the right place, but I'm committed to you in the long haul.
Well,
yeah, I think,
go ahead,
Susie,
Greg.
That, well, again, as I'm just thinking about the difference between a major offense and an annoyance and how grace might show up, again, I think one of the best things that we can do is just keep reading, rereading, meditating, memorizing, writing this on your heart is 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Because a part of what it's talking about is that love does not dishonor others. So even, you know, as we walk out a major offense, it's very easy to feel justified to shame, to belittle, to yell at, to scream at, to cuss at, to, yeah, I mean, whatever, because I've been massively hurt. You did this horrendous thing. I deserve my pound of flesh. And I think part of what grace, how that's going to show up is that, you know, I want to protect my own personal integrity. How I show up, the words that I use, how my body language, what I speak about my spouse, I want to honor. And we can do that. We don't have to shut down, become hard-hearted, and then just spew and get our pound of flesh. And so I think, again, that's a part of how do I want to show up? What does my own personal integrity look like? To me, that's grace. When we choose that over the I deserve, you know, the righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. I deserve to get my pound of flesh for what you just did.
Are we Christians or not? I mean, I'm truly thinking, you know, if you're a Christ follower, you're a Christian first before you're an offended spouse. You just are. I mean, I remember telling my boys, you're Christians first, you're teenagers second. So just remember that. I mean, truly, truly, there is a standard in your heart. And now, given there are marriages that end that are irreconcilable differences, or the damage and the hardness goes so deep, or one spouse just wants it and is bent on it and the other isn't. So just that's clear, right? But I also know you've done marriage intensive, both of you, with people who've forgiven major offenses and are doing better now than they ever have. And you've seen marriages die over much, much lesser offenses. So, Aaron, I want you to talk about just the idea of what forgiveness does in our own hearts, what giving grace to someone else, how that nourishes our soul. Because whether you've got an irreconcilable difference or not, you talk often about what goes on in your heart deeply impacts your own physical, emotional, spiritual health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely does. And I mean, there's all the research that's tied all around to, you know, if you're angry, if you're bitter, that these different, you know, processes take on in your body. And so when you are forgiving, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to come and reopen your heart. And as your heart reopens, then you're able to extend grace and kindness and love and gentleness and all the things we're called to. But a closed heart can lead to a hardened heart. And a hardened heart is not able to see beyond its own pain. And so many times your hardened heart is going to become self-consumed, and you know, you will live in the place of bitterness, in just the doomsday. And so really choosing forgiveness and choosing to get your heart right before the Lord, and, you know, really before your spouse, even if they're the ones who have offended, that you're saying, you know what, I am committed to God first, and I'm going to allow him to do miracles in my heart as I walk this out with you, because he's going to do miracles in your heart. So really, it's continuing to believe the best about what God can do in your heart, and also what God can do in your spouse, regardless of what the offense was, and not to minimize the pain of the offense and the horrificness of some of the offenses we've heard. But we have watched God just absolutely restore hearts and souls, and then restore marriages. And it's amazing when we are willing to accept what he truly can do, what he will do, and what he's faithful to do.
And I love that. I love what you guys are saying. For me, it's summed up with the absence of grace will harden your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can remember that, that if I'm not going to bestow grace, it will lead to a hardened heart.
Boy, good word. We've got about a minute and a half left, Greg. What word of encouragement do you have for that couple? The land is just dry, you know? It's been a long time since they've extended grace to each other. What can one spouse do, just even today, to make a difference?
Well, think back to the definition of grace. The final part of that is an ongoing bestowing of blessings. And so maybe think about, I can't control my spouse. I've tried to change her. She won't. What can I do? It's not God fix my marriage. It's God make me a better husband. What would a bestowing, a blessing look like today? And maybe that for me would be to, I'm going to notice one thing that Aaron has done today that I appreciate. Like she brought me my favorite coffee from Starbucks. She showed up with it. And with her other Trenta things and all the stuff she had.
I've had more than one.
Sorry.
I mean, come on.
but for me, it's am I willing to look at that and go, you know what? That was a cool thing. And actually share that and say, hey, by the way, today when you brought that, thank you. That really blessed me. Thank you for taking the time to do that and the hassle of carrying all that stuff in. So maybe the ongoing bestowing of blessing is going to be, I'm just going to really focus on one thing every day that you're doing that I appreciate, and then before you go to bed, the last thing I want you to hear out of my mouth is one thing that I noticed that you did that I appreciated. I mean, just simply, Susie, that's gonna change a marriage. I promise that will make an impact.
Indeed. Okay, let's pray. And Aaron, this has been so fantastic, you guys. Great, great content. Aaron, I'm thinking of that person Greg just spoke to who's weary but feels that flutter in their heart going, you know what, this I can do. These few steps I can do. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, Lord, we just come before you, Jesus, and just ask that you are with that couple, with that person, that individual who's sitting there thinking, no way, no how is this going to happen in my marriage. Lord, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit floods them with hope, that there's hope, there's always hope, that you can change individual hearts, Lord, and ultimately that will change a marriage. So help that person who's feeling hopeless, helpless, to just really know that you are the healer. You are the healer of their individual heart, and you can heal their marriage, Jesus. So we just ask that in your precious and holy name. Lord, give hope. Amen.
Amen. Aaron and Greg, always love chatting with you and looking forward to our time again next time you come back on the show. Bless you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you, too.
Bye. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from, and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name.
Well, coming up next, Lee Strobel joins me back on the show to talk about the movie coming up based on his book, The Case for Christ, and his life story. Don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead. Hour two is up next. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.